May it please the court, counsel for the government. Sexual misconduct with a minor does not relate to aggravated sexual abuse, or abuse of sexual conduct with a minor. Thus, the district court erred when it applied a 15-year mandatory minimum sentence based upon the fact that Mr. Osborne had a prior conviction for sexual misconduct with a minor, a Class D felony.
What is it you think we're permitted to consider? Are we permitted to consider any facts beyond those that are alleged in this amended information?
Your Honor, we believe that the categorical approach is appropriate in this case, and when using the categorical approach, we do not look at any facts beyond the amended information or the statute. And if we look at the statute...
Or the what? I'm sorry. You said the information or what?
Or the statute.
Or the statute.
Yes, Your Honor, the statute itself. And if we look at the statute, what is required for a conviction for sexual misconduct with a minor as a Class D felony under Indiana law is that a person who is 18 years or older touches or fondles a person that is between the ages of 14 and 16 years old. There are no other elements required to prove this crime. It is Indiana's equivalent of a statutory rape law. When we look at this law, it is notable that there is no...
I don't know why you call it statutory rape, since it doesn't require intercourse.
Your Honor, that is correct. However, if we look at the other provisions, the more enhanced provisions under sexual misconduct with a minor, I believe it is the B felony provision, the C felony provision.
But he was convicted of just the D, right?
That is correct, Your Honor. And thus, it is our position that, in light of the fact that it does not require sexual intercourse, it is even more benign than perhaps an ordinary statutory rape law provision, where sexual intercourse would have actually occurred, would have actually been a requirement.
What is your understanding, just general understanding of this phrase, abusive sexual conduct involving a minor? What do you think is in that category?
Your Honor, when looking at abusive sexual conduct with a minor, let me first say that we do not believe that the mere fact that sexual conduct is...
I'm not interested in what you think is out. I'm really interested in what you think is in.
Okay. With regard to abusive sexual conduct with a minor, crimes such as child molest, things where there's not consensual, things that require some sort of forcible or assaultive component.
Is statutory rape abusive sexual conduct involving a minor?
No, Your Honor, it is not.
And why not?
Don't believe that statutory rape is abusive sexual conduct involving a minor because essentially what statutory rape is consensual sex between two persons and
the point of a statutory rape law is that the minor's consent, or what the minor perceives as consent, is viewed as not consent because the age difference makes overreaching very easy. And that's the sense in which statutory rape is abusive sexual conduct involving a minor. The abuse is misuse of the age difference. And we say that the minor, although the minor may have said yes, the consent is not honored. The question I have about this case is this statute any different? It's an age difference statute in which apparently the state believes that the youngster's consent is not going to be honored in light of the age difference. Isn't that abusive in the same sense? Now, you've denied that statutory rape is abusive conduct. But I should think whatever makes statutory rape, if statutory rape is abusive sexual conduct, this has that same quality. That is, the age difference cancels the consent.
Your Honor, the most notable difference, as the court has previously stated, between a statutory rape conviction, statutory rape provision rather, and the sexual misconduct with a minor provision as a D felony under Indiana law, is that sexual intercourse is not required.
But you don't think abusive sexual conduct always requires intercourse?
No, I do not, Your Honor.
Right. So what's really important is understanding sexual conduct occurred in this case. What we really have to understand is the word abusive. What is it that makes sexual conduct abusive?
Your Honor, abusive sexual conduct with a minor has not been defined by either Congress or this court.
No, the starting point should be, what is non-abusive sexual conduct involving a minor?
Right.
Right?
That too.
Because you could say all sexual conduct involving a minor is abusive, but that would do violence to the statute. So there must be some distinction between mm-hmm. sexual conduct involving a minor and abusive, some abusive sexual. So how should we draw that line?
Your Honor, I think that if we look to the ordinary meaning of the word abuse, if we look at what would be dictated abuse.
I don't think the ordinary meaning of abuse is going to get you anywhere. Yeah. I think you have to look at specific sexual acts. So what changes? All sexual conduct with a minor is illegal. So what is it that distinguishes between the ordinary illegality and the abusive, the aggravated?
Well, I think that clearly when we start to deal with aggravated, there must be some sort of forcible component. However, if we're looking at simply abusive sexual conduct with a minor, it's particularly notable that this conduct encompasses completely consensual conduct between two high school students. That's the problem with this statute.
Yeah, but that's statutory rape. Right?
That's
yeah.
Right. To follow up on Judge Posner's question, we're going to have to ask the Assistant U.S. Attorney this, too, but I take it in the state if two high school students age 16 engage in sex, that's not even a crime, is it?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Because there's... I asked a negative question. That's why that is correct, Your Honor, doesn't... Is it a crime or isn't it?
It is not a crime for two 16-year-olds.
No age difference, so there's not a crime. So I think what we need, and I guess it's the U.S. Attorney that's going to have to give it to us, is an example of sexual conduct with a minor that A, is a crime, but B, is not abusive.
Your Honor, if I could elaborate on this point slightly, and hopefully this addresses the concern of the court, sexual misconduct with a minor as a D felony, which does not require actual sexual intercourse, is what would be considered the lowest level sexual crime with a minor that exists under Indiana statute. In other words, if sexual misconduct with a minor as a D felony is not considered a crime that is not abusive sexual conduct, then there is no crime that would not be considered abusive sexual conduct.
Presumably the phrase abusive sexual conduct involving a minor is designed to distinguish among sets of crimes, because if it meant to say that all criminal sexual conduct involving a minor counts as this aggravator, then there would be no need for the word abusive.
That is correct.
There's got to be some sexual conduct involving a minor that is abusive and some that isn't.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Yeah, they're both crimes.
That is correct, Your Honor. However, if we look at the statutory provisions under Indiana law for the various sex crimes involving children, sexual misconduct with a minor would be the most benign. And again, if that is considered to be abusive sexual conduct, then there would be no crime that would not be considered abusive sexual conduct. And that's precisely the issue that we have with this particular statute falling under abusive sexual conduct.
Is D the bottom?
Yes, Your Honor, it is.
Is there some misdemeanor offense below that for sexual conduct?
No, Your Honor, the least of the
no,
sexual...
No misdemeanor sexual offenses in Indiana.
Not that I recall, Your Honor. I believe that when I browsed through the...
Strict state, right.
Yes, anytime there's any type of sexual activity involving a minor, it's a felony offense, Your Honor. And again, that's the problem. That is the problem as we see it, is that there are no provisions statutory that would not involve abusive conduct. And if we, again, in looking at this, while I do understand that two 16-year-old students could engage in a relationship and that would not be a crime, a senior in high school that wanted to date someone who is a sophomore in high school has violated this statute. And if her parents wanted to press this, then he would have been considered to engage in abusive sexual conduct. And Your Honor, I think that clearly is not what abuse of sexual conduct with a minor is intended to mean, even if we determine, even though we do agree that the goal is to prevent young persons from engaging in sexual conduct, it doesn't mean that it's abusive because it's per se illegal. Just briefly, the district court also erred when they applied the 5-level enhancement for pattern of conduct pursuant to United States Sentencing Guideline Provision 2G2.2B5, and thus we ask for this court to vacate Mr. Osborne's sentence and remand to the district court for further proceedings. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Scott. Ms. Yusey, I think you can see where we would like you to start. What's an example of non-abusive sexual conduct with a minor that's also a felony?
May it please the Court, Your Honor. My name is Elizabeth Yusey, representing the government. In terms of an example of, if I get this right, abusive sexual conduct that would not be...
No. What is an example of a sex crime with a minor that is not abusive in the prosecutor's view?
Your Honor, the only thing that I can think of at this point would be if there was some sort of simple assault case that involved kissing or something minor like that. I think a good reference.
Why isn't kissing a Class D felony?
Well, in terms,
if it's erotic.
Your Honor, in terms of my understanding of the Indiana state
kissing
law.
Kissing and dancing sounds.
Kissing surely would be included, right. It seems to me. I mean, the Indiana statute is so broad, and it refers to any fondling or touching, and I've never kissed someone where I didn't touch them.
Right, I understand that. And the trigger on this Indiana statute is that with the intent of arousing the sexual desires of either participant.
Well, of course. That's the whole point, right?
Right. You're,
close dancing?
To answer your question, Your Honor, my understanding of the Indiana... I'm sorry, Your Honor. My understanding of the Indiana statute is that it requires something more than kissing, that it requires an objective fondling in terms of what would objectively be found.
Did I
objectively be found.
Is that what you said?
I used
the word objective fondling?
I misspoke, Your Honor. It would be objectively found to arouse the sexual desires of one of the parties.
So French kissing is a violation in Indiana.
Your Honor, I know of no case in Indiana law that actually has charged
kissing.
What if
you're someone who, gets sexually aroused by just a chaste kiss to the cheek?
Oh, dear.
Or to the hand?
That's what.
Have you forgotten your Jane Austen?
Your Honor, that's why I was saying that it would be an objective standard in terms of what would objectively to a jury or a trier of fact find that it would objectively be found to intend to arouse the sexual desires of one of the participants.
Look, is your argument that any sexual conduct between an adult and a minor under 17 years of age is by definition abusive? Is that your argument?
No, Your Honor.
Yeah, the word abusive has got to carry some freight, and if we can't identify a non-abusive sexual crime involving a minor, the phrase has been redacted, so it just means a crime of, quote, sexual conduct involving a minor. Well, this is certainly sexual conduct involving a minor.
Correct, Your Honor.
But if there's nothing in the non-abusive category, then we've made the word go away.
I understand that, Your Honor. I think a good reference point is Chapter 109A, which is included in 2252B, the sentencing provision that's at issue here. In Chapter 109A, which are the federal crimes of abusive sexual contact with a minor and sexual abuse of a minor, you deal with defines, and there's no element of force or violence, as Mr. Osborne has argued, that would be an element to make something abusive.
But you're not responding to Judge Easter's question. Give us an example of a sexual crime that does not that you would not regard as abusive.
Your Honor, the only thing that, as I've already said, is some simple assault or something like that, or however it would be.
Simple assault is not a crime of sexual conduct involving a minor. If you look at the elements of simple assault, it doesn't have sex in it.
I agree, Your Honor. I apologize.
Right, so we're following the Taylor rule. We have to look at the elements of the offense. The elements of the offense have got to have sex in them somehow.
Yes, Your Honor.
Got to have minority in it somehow. And
yes.
Simple assault doesn't have minority in it either.
Correct, Your Honor.
So what's in the box, non-abusive sexual conduct involving a minor, where sex and being a minor are elements of the offense?
Your Honor, I know of no state law, and obviously there are numerous state laws that I'm not aware of, that would be considered non-abusive sexual contact with a minor.
Why bother defining it as abusive at all? Why not refer simply to unlawful sexual contact?
Yep.
Your Honor, in terms of Congress's intent, I do believe that they intended to make this as broad as possible. No.
I have no idea what's in their heads. But if you want to make it as broad as possible, you don't write abusive sexual conduct involving a minor. You take the word abusive out and replace it with any.
Or unlawful. What is the age of consent in Indiana?
I believe it's 16 years of age.
So you could have a marriage or something.
Yeah. I think Indiana allows people to get married at 14, doesn't it?
I'm not sure of that, Your Honor.
So, but if it said unlawful sexual conduct, that would be the way of encompassing everything. Because you can't actually think of a sexual offense that would not, in your view, be abusive.
No, I can't, Your Honor. And
he got a 15-year minimum mandatory. What would his minimum sentence have been if this Class D felony hadn't been counted?
Your Honor, I don't know the specific range, but it was less than 15 years, according to the guideline
sentence.
You don't
know what it was? That's kind of important to me.
I apologize, Your Honor. I know it was...
Because now, I mean, suppose you have two people. One of them kissed a girl when he was 18 and she was 50, and the other didn't. Now they're both, you know, prosecuted for child pornography. The one who kissed the girl gets, what, an extra 5 years or something?
I believe it was around there, Your Honor.
Wouldn't that be utterly preposterous?
Well, and Your Honor, that's why I think that...
Wouldn't that be utterly preposterous?
I think in that situation, yes, Your Honor.
But that's our situation.
He was not simply kissed a girl. He was convicted of kissing a girl.
Your Honor,
behind the amended information. The information is very stark. It doesn't say anything about his age or her age or what happened. Right.
Your Honor,
it's just a recitation of the statute.
It is, Your Honor. The government, though.
So your proposition, my hypothetical case, is yes, you have an extra, say, 5 years because this person had kissed a 15-year-old.
Your Honor, I don't believe kissing would have been found to be fondling.
It has to be convicted. It's not enough just to have kissed
her. Or petting.
Your Honor,
that's fun.
However, the purpose of the...
How many 15-year-old girls in Indiana have had petting? 90%? Do you know what percentage of 15-year-old girls in the United States have had full sexual intercourse?
I do not, Your Honor.
It's huge.
It's pretty big.
Your Honor, one thing about this, the categorical approach, I know this circuit has looked beyond in a situation where there are undisputed facts of the underlying conduct at issue in determining the prior conviction. In this case, it was undisputed.
Well, we don't look to the undisputed facts. Taylor and Shepard say we can look to the factual recitations of the charging paper. Did the charging paper allege anything extra beyond the statutory elements?
No, Your Honor, it did not.
Remember what the Supreme Court's holding in Shepard is, that even if the underlying facts are undisputed, if they're not in the charging paper, they can't be consulted.
Correct, Your Honor.
Not even clear we know what the facts are, because originally it was a Class B felony, then it's lowered to a Class D. Well, there's something behind that, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
We don't know what's behind that at all.
Your Honor, it was discussed and stipulated to.
Pardon? What?
I believe there was a stipulation by defendant's counsel during sentencing that there was no dispute whether or not sexual intercourse occurred with the 14-year-old.
But there's something behind lowering it from a B to a D.
Yes, Your Honor, I agree with that.
We don't know what's behind that, what kind of extenuating circumstances. This guy doesn't seem very bright, but maybe that's a problem. Is he retarded?
I never saw anything that stated that he was, Your Honor.
There's no evidence at all in the record that he suffers from diminished mental capacity.
Your Honor, there was, I believe, some statements from his grade school testings or things like
right.
that. However, in terms of his impulse control, it was in the normal range.
Well, but diminished mental capacity is different from impulse control.
I'm not sure the terminology that they were using with it, Your Honor. But that my understanding was that in terms of his reasoning capabilities, that he was on an average level. And, Your Honor, this is someone that has gone repeatedly. He has admitted to sexual contact with a 10-year-old, convicted of sexual intercourse or contact with a 14-year-old, and again, looking for child pornography with the girls of the same age. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ms. Scott. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess until next week.